What if Shallan leaves Roshar and her plot line in Ghostbloods is, oh crap, I'm off Roshar, I'm pregnant, and time is progressing differently. I need to get back to Roshar as quick as I possibly can. Oh, Hoid, help me out. And while we see whatever our other characters are going to be doing in Scadrial and elsewhere, Shallan is like kind of in the picture, and her whole motivation is, I've got to get back to Roshar as fast as I can so that Adolin doesn't miss the childhood of his children.
That's what I was going to say. If Adolin's kid is Adolin's age when we get back, I'm going to be very upset.
Right.
Yeah.
And but I think, and maybe it resolves in she succeeds in that by the end of the Ghostbloods trilogy, and she inserts herself back into Roshar in a somewhat reasonable amount of time. Maybe she syncs back up with Adolin and she just has a 5-month-old baby.
Welcome back to Following No One on Stormlight Podcast. This week is episode 275, and it is 100% about the future of Roshar. Paul, how are you?
Oh boy, I'm excited. Excited to talk about the future. Where do we go? This is the first time that none of us know. Maybe Elliot knows a little, but none of us know. So...
yeah, Elliot, how are you, and how freely can you speak today?
I'm doing great. I am very intrigued with where Wind of Truth has left us. We talked in our wrap-up episode of the book of some of the things we liked and didn't like about it, but I think it's hard to disagree with the fact that we're in a fascinating place for where do we go next.
Definitely.
How freely can I talk about this? Yes. So new development on the podcast. I, for the first time in the 5 years plus we've been doing this, have read further than my co-hosts. And I got to tell you guys out there who many of you probably are in the same boat as me now, this is harder than I even thought it was going to be, of being able to hold my thoughts in here and not let them bias too much, even my casual conversations with my hosts already. So I can largely speak freely, I think, in this episode, but there are some things I will have to refrain.
For those of you who don't know, Elliot has read Emberdark and we have not. And we will be reading Emberdark starting not next week, but the week after. Okay, Paul, do we have a patron?
We do. I'm glad you asked. We have a new patron, the lovely Altrez. Altrez is a lovely surgeon who will be joining our crew. And I wrote your name in huge capital letters on my cup. And I feel like I often have a short, little, unimportant story about my cup. This one is actually a teacup that has an attachment to go with it where you're supposed to, if you love tea and particularly love loose leaf tea, there's an attachment that you put your loose leaf tea leaves in here to stew your tea, and then you can like take it out and it holds your loose leaf tea instead of having to have the separate like ball thing or whatever to do your loose leaf tea. So for loose leaf tea enjoyers, this would be an excellent cup for you. I just threw that other part out for now. Alex will use it. And I just have a plain cup. So thank you, Altrez, for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The floor is wide open, gentlemen. Anything and everything we want to talk about the state of Roshar, leaving Wind in Truth, where we think book 6 is going to pick up, how we feel that the planet is going to fare in that time, whatever you'd like. The floor is yours.
I like your first bullet that you've got in the outline here, Trevor, of how can we not start this conversation without talking about retribution? Honor and Odium have been brought together in a single vessel that is none other than Taravangian. Where's that going?
Yes, Retrovangian versus the Cosmere. Okay, so my main bullet point with this, we know at least minimal baseline about Retribution. My main question here that I'll have to answer for myself here is when are we going to see Retribution versus the Cosmere? Is it going to be book 6 and Roshar is like under attack from Scadrial, or is this book 10 and Retribution is part of the reunification of Aedon Alsium? Like where's your guys' thoughts? I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. So whether Emberdark touches on Retribution versus the Cosmere or Mistborn Era 3, if we're going to talk to Roshar, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. I have some questions. At the end of Wind and Truth, we get a couple stipulations on what Retribution can and cannot do, as in, right, Retribution can leave the planet. Is that right? Like, Retribution...
I assume so.
Wasn't that so. The question? The cultivation just can. Did. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cultivation dipped. Retribution can leave Roshar now.
Yes.
But his Terravangian's upset because his plan is not in order yet, and now everyone's looking at him.
Right.
But he can leave, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, do we think we see Retribution in Emberdark, or are we waiting a while?
So, that brings forward the time dilation question. I have minimal idea on when... Actually, I have a rough idea of when Emberdark is. I doubt that we're going to see Retribution a lot in Emberdark. And less Emberdark speculation, the better, because Ellie's just going to have to sit there and say nothing. So... less Emberdark speculation and more like Retribution is rampaging across the Cosmere. I don't think that's going to happen in Emberdark. And I do think that will happen by the end of, like, towards the beginning of Stormlight Era 2, I would say.
I think my question is going to be, is Stormlight Era 2, we know it's 5 whole giant books. I'm sure they're going to be giant. Is it Roshar focused, or are we truly going to open the aperture and this is just going to be free for all Cosmere? That's my question.
I mean, I would hope that it's more Roshar focused, but that would then beg the question of, are we saving Cosmere galactic battles for after that? Or is that
right?
Like, or is Stormlight 10 like the end of the Cosmere, you know, like,
which a lot of you guys out there will know this way better than me. I feel like Brandon has said it's not. Hasn't he specifically said that Stormlight Era 10 is not the Cosmere capstone? I don't know. Somebody chime in and tell us.
Yeah, this is where my deliberate aversion to spoilers over the last 12 months has really kicked me, because I am completely out of touch with everything current. Previous to Wind and Truth, I'd always chime in with, and Brandon Sanderson said this in an interview, and, like, you know, he's actually addressed this. I have not watched a single thing for the last year, so I don't know what Brandon's up to right now.
So I feel like, at least in Stormlight 6, I think we will not see Retribution versus a Cosmere, because I feel like we still have things on Roshar we need to get back to. Like, sure. Well, here's what I think is going to happen. We're going to go straight to predictions, I guess. I think Stormlight 6 comes in with, and the Heralds are back. That the Heralds go on there, the Heralds with Kaladin as their newest entrant are on sabbatical for 10 years or whatever. And opening scene of Stormlight 6, or fairly close to it, is, and the Heralds are back on the planet. And then we spend all that time kind of figuring out the new normal on Roshar. Is it stable? Is it just chaos? Does Retribution have things under control? Does he not? Is he at war with himself? How do our heroes fit in this? Can we save Navani? End of Stormlight 6, the Blackthorn steps on the scene. Oh, shoot, Dalinar's back, and he's leading up the armies, yada, yada. And then we build towards a Cosmere-wide conflict, and maybe Stormlight 10 is the ultimate showdown. Can the other shards come together to stop Retribution?
Yeah, I have... My thoughts are not necessarily... Okay, so let me not talk about what my thoughts would be, like, what my thoughts are about. Like, let me just share my thoughts. I have two visions or guesses as to the pacing of books 6 through 10. One idea, which is, I think, the one that I would like to see, is we start with a slower start in book 6 that resets the scene, re-welcomes us, if you will, to Roshar, the new Roshar, and we're following, maybe not primarily, but largely new characters. I think in my head who that is Zeth's wife, or the author of Wind and Truth, or things like that. Like there are other characters involved, like in Shinnevar or other places. I think we're following some new characters and building them up, not as like a, oh, we started looking at Yonagon in book 5, but more like how you open with Kaladin in book 1. Like, we're starting with characters that we're going to follow through these 5 books, you know? And obviously, all of our characters are still going to be there. We've got a lot of characters still in play. Dalinar was really the main one removed. I could totally see the Heralds coming back right away. Sorry. I could also see that being a later thing. I don't know. But I think it's going to start slow. And then it's going to, like... If it follows the pacing of the last 5 books, then it's like, okay, slower, get set up. End of book 2, you get the hint at things bigger. And then, like, book 3 onward is, like, where things really break loose, go crazy, and things like that. And I feel like that has to happen, because if you get so big in books 6 and maybe 7, then how do you follow that up in books 8, 9, and 10, unless we're just all the planets of the Cosmere have collided and every character from every book is in one place. Like, I don't know. I think you'd have a huge cluster Avengers Endgame, and I don't know if that would be good.
So my question is less speculation on the back 5 and more, because I think that Avengers Assemble scene will happen. It's just a question for me of, is it Stormlight 10 or is it 25 books in the future, right? Like, are we reading that at the end of Stormlight, or are we reading that 10 books after the end of Stormlight?
It really sounds like there's not going to be 25 books until Stormlight 10 comes out.
There might be
50 books between now and then.
Dialing it back a little bit. Elliot's question, will Taravangian be able to hold Honor? Will he be able to lasso the Shard of Honor? No, absolutely not. Honor is going to sit and stew about what the heck Dalinar just did and realize, you know what? Oaths aren't all that they're cooked up to be. And if your oath is a terrible oath, then you shouldn't hold that oath. And he's again then going to turn to his vessel and say, that guy has a bunch of terrible oaths, and then he's going to leave.
So to sum it up, you think Dalinar's gambit will succeed?
It will succeed in dividing Retribution.
Okay. You think that the seed Dalinar planted will grow and Honor will break that bond somehow?
Yes, Honor is going to go see Kaladin and say that guy's way cooler and go over him.
I'm down for that. I don't know. I don't know if I'm second guessing that. That feels like the direction this should go in. I feel like that's going to spin things in a weird way if Stormlight 7 Honor breaks away from Teravangian and Odium. Do we just go back to Todium? Like we've kind of already been there.
Either that or Odium is destroyed and Honor's the only shard on the planet.
I think there's a chance that this plan works in the way that that Teravangian gets killed, right? And like loses the shards. True. I don't think, to answer your question, I don't think Teravangian is going to lose the Shard of Honor. I think he's going to specifically get Honor to love him and grow into him well. Like, you know what I mean? Elliot's making a face. Like, he makes his mention at the end of the book of he does something and he could feel the power of Honor settle more into Retribution, right? He's going to keep doing that. And it's going to become Retribution, it will still ultimately kind of be Honor and Odium, like how we kind of have Ruin and Preservation in harmony, right? But I think that's set. I don't think Honor is dipping or leaving town. I do think there's a chance that he gets yeeted out of there. Teravangian himself gets killed in some way, shape, or form. And then who knows what happens with the shards after that.
But what about Dalinar's epic end line of go bond Teravangian, remember me, you've got stuff to learn, Honor. Dalinar's making the gamble that Retribution won't last.
So what if we don't even get the Retribution versus the Cosmere scene? I feel like if we go the path we're talking about of this divides Retribution and Honor and Odium can't stay together, or Honor can't stay with Teravangian, if they break apart, are we back to we don't need the Cosmere to assemble to beat Retribution?
No. Elliot, I just figured out what the end of book 10 is. I know it. I know what's going to happen. So I think we've seen this before. So what happened when Preservation and Ruin were at odds against each other, right? Preservation and Ruin were at odds against each other and ultimately ended up being picked up by the same person, right? After a whole bunch of strife and essentially defeating each other, loosely, we're going to have this cataclysmic war on Retribution. He's going to be the big villain. He's going to be the big thing. And in book 10, there will be shards involved, probably shards from other planets, involved in destroying Retribution here. But then there's gonna be a clump of like six shards or something that's gonna get picked up. I don't know if by one or two people or what, but I think we're gonna keep getting bigger clumps of shards together. Maybe that's when Aedon Alcium is reformed. Who knows? But I think you're gonna have like a big, like within the chaos, they're all gonna die to defeat Retribution. And then the turn, you know, who's going to be there to pick it up? Is it going to be Hoid? Is it going to be Lift? You know? So I think that's what's going to happen at the end of book 10. Or each Herald will get a shard. I don't know. Something's going to happen.
Elliot, to answer your question, both are going to be true. The shards are going to come help divide Retribution and kill Odium and rescue Honor.
Okay.
We're going to go find Valor. Valor's going to show up, go talk to Honor the Power and say, yo, this isn't you. Get out of there. You can do better than him.
And then the Shard of Valor is going to leave its vessel and go to Teravangian.
Whoa.
Teravangian is just going to collect all the Infinity Stones.
Yes. Yeah. That's got to happen at some point, right? We're going down the Marvel rabbit hole anyways.
How long is cultivation gone, guys? When will cultivation come back, if ever? And where will we see her? And if Elliot has to do a poker face and she's hanging out on like First of the Sun or something, then I'm going to be very sad about this question in like 3 weeks.
That's right. Okay. I think cultivation is going to come back, and that's going to be a big reveal in like either book 7 or book 8. I think that'd be my guess. I think book 6, it's easy enough to say there's going to be a lot we have to catch up on Roshar. We're going to see the divided one, and we're going to see these things play out. I don't know who our players are and what they do, but we can see that before we have cultivation coming back. But we might see like interlude cultivation on some other planet on vacation, something like that. Either that, or we will start to get cultivation, maybe epigraphs. I feel like that'd be a great use for it, is like epigraphs, cultivation, making a plan, communicating in some way. Yeah, I think it's going to be a thin thread throughout. Then like book 7, book 8, book 9, somewhere around there, we'll have cultivation more forefront.
I think cultivation has left Stormlight and that we're going to go visit her somewhere else. Like, she's going to go hide, and then Harmony's going to go talk to her or something like that. And she's no longer a Stormlight character, and she's going to show up somewhere else.
I think I'm fascinated by the question of what are the impacts going to be to Roshar because of cultivation's absence. Yep. I feel like it was pretty clearly spelled out that cultivation was very instrumental in the general workings of Roshar.
The rhythms, you know, all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Spren, I think it's fairly clear that the Spren are of honor, but then there's a bunch of very cultivation-esque influences on a lot of the Spren. So now what?
I think that might be one of the reasons we freed Ba'at Amishram, as Ba'at Amishram might pick up the basket for cultivation. And I wonder if the Night Watcher is still here, actually. That'd be my question, is if cultivation left the Night Watcher. Because if she did, then the Night Watcher might go like crazy, and that'd be creepy. How long is Urithiru going to be on by itself, guys? It's in its little bubble. And I reread it. Yasna can't pull Shallan through a portal. It is blocked off from the cognitive realm. And it's blocked off physically from the physical realm. How long is that going to last, gentlemen?
The bubble around Urithiru is a big, fat, I don't know. It doesn't need to. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the problems that are at hand have to be on the earlier side. Book 6, maybe book 7.
Yeah.
But I also thought there were things that had to be done in book 5, so who knows?
I feel like we have to free Urithiru on sooner rather than later, because Urithiru is super cool and we can't just ignore it.
I think so too. Well, unless Paul's idea from earlier comes to play and maybe Stormlight 6 slows it way down. Like, we go spend the entirety of Stormlight 6 in somebody's shoes far away from Urithiru, and we build back up to getting things like Urithiru and larger pictures involved. But before anything big can happen, I feel like Urithiru has to play a part in that.
Ooh, sooner prediction for you guys. Horn Eater, the novel Horn Eater, which comes out in like a year. Are we going to see post Wind and Truth? Like, it obviously is going to start pre Wind and Truth, but is it going to end like, and the sky got red and dark, and then we're trying to make sense of this in the Horn Eater Peaks, you know, and cultivation's pool leaves Are they gonna handle all of the Wind and Truth issues just off screen, or is it just gonna be independent rock story?
Well, from each of the novellas so far, just looking at them as evidence, we've always gotten some helpful tidbit, but nothing majorly impactful. Like nothing majorly like, you know, story changing.
All the Edge Dancer fans are going to come for you in the comments on that one. About how we get introduced to Nail and
yes,
Zeth's there.
Yes, we do. We see them and it's awesome, but we also know about Nail from elsewhere. I think the most impactful thing across them was seeing the Dawn Shard and knowing that the Dawn Shards and knowing that Rissen has a Dawn Shard. You do find that out later, so you don't have to read the book for that. But the essence, the theme of it is fun story with other characters that you get to see. We're going to see the Horn Eater Peaks and Rock and his family, I imagine, hopefully, and some other things. I don't know what the main thing is going to be. It's probably going to be tied to their big well of water where there's a perpendicularity, right? Something connected to that, maybe, that we know. Do we know what the status of that perpendicularity is, by the way, at the end of the book?
Yes, Shallan goes and visits it. And that's where we find out she's pregnant. She goes and visits it on the Shadesmar side, and it's gone. And so there's a bunch of people just sitting waiting for it to come back.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I feel like that'd be a tangible thing to learn about.
And part of me was waiting for a Rock cameo in that scene.
I was too. I was looking for it.
I didn't necessarily think it was going to happen, but I was looking for it. Where we're going to get an unnamed Horn Eater who happens to speak just like Rock does, go, and hey, let me help you with that, ma'am, or you know, something like that.
For my bingo's sake, I was hoping that she'd go talk to a Horn Eater that would help her out or something. And Shallan and Rock have conversed in the past, because Rock calls her cousin because of her red hair. So I think Rock would have actually recognized her if he had been on the Shadesmar side.
I feel like that's where we might go in book six. I don't know how Shallan is getting out of there, but I feel like that moment is still possible.
I think I hope that the Horn Eater novella is set pre-Wind and Truth. That he goes back and fills in a few gaps with that novella, and we don't see further future events.
I would agree. I would agree with that fully, because really all we want to know with Horn Eater, all we want to know is what's happened to Rock since he left the seat. Like, since he left our seat, we love Rock. He's awesome. And like, what you been up to, my brother? Like, what you doing? I want to know exactly what all's been going on at the Horn Eater Peaks and see what he's come home to. Yeah, that's really all that I want to see. Nothing crazy. Like Dawn Shard, picking up that book, I'm like, okay, Rissen is cool. I like some of these characters. They're fun. But I want to know what the heck a Dawn Shard is, right? Like, I just want to see what's going on with Rock. That's all.
Because we talked about Shallan, I'll ask you guys this question. I have a much more detailed prediction on this that I'll share later, but I want your guys' thoughts on this too, which is why I put it in the outline. How and when will Adolin and Shallan be reunited? We've ended the book with them completely separated, with, as far as we know, no way for them to get back to each other. What do you think? Where do you think that's going?
One of my predictions also involves Adolin and Shallan, so we should just get into them now. These two predictions specifically. Here's my answer. Shallan is not going to make it back to Roshar. Adolin is going to make it to Shallan. Adolin has very minimal ties to Roshar the planet anymore. The only argument you can make is Renarin, right? His only ties are Dalinar, Shallan, and Renarin. Dalinar's dead. Rest in peace. Shallan is in Shadesmar. Renarin is trapped in Yirithiru. I think Adolin is going to go to Shallan, not vice versa.
I think that's a really... I like that theory a lot, actually. I would say the other connection, though, could be Maya, right? Could Maya go with him now after all of the stuff?
I'm sure she could.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. So I could see that happening. I like that idea a lot more than I thought I would. I don't know when they would, but I desperately want it to be a quick thing and not a dragged out across the whole book would be hard, but okay for me. But if it's not in book six, oh man, you know how like some of my reviews for book five are a bit contingent on what may be in book six. Instead of book six making book five better, it's just made it worse for me. And I am just like slamming my plot down to like a three. And like, well, I think that would be terrible.
To kind of build off this a little further, I think you are correct that book six will dial it back heavily. And because of that, I think a lot of our main characters are going to step off stage, like rock style of I'm going to go do my adventure. And I think Adolin is part of this. I'm going to go to Shadesmar. Bye. That's where my wife and kid are. And we won't visit Shallan and Adolin for a while.
Now, hold on a second, though. We know the point of views of the five books. Brandon's told us that. I don't know if I can name off the top of my head. I can tell you at least three.
I'll look it up.
Lyft, Yasna, and Renarin.
And Talon and Chalash. Right?
Okay, there you go. I knew Talon was another. Which one of those POVs and flashbacks fits with a slowed down, less major event plotline, though? Lyft,
and maybe Renarin.
Because
we could, if we started with Renarin, we could just be hanging out in Yirithiru for a book.
Maybe.
Implementing the new way of government that they talk about.
Yes, our Yirithiru Senate.
Yeah. Which so, I am cool with. Side note, we don't have to talk about it. I'm cool with, but I don't necessarily look forward to reading political drama about in state
new
former government and board of Senate did or whatever on Roshar. Let's leave that to like some novella or something. Like take all those chapters and put them in
fan fiction.
Yeah, exactly. Roshar, the political drama.
I agree with that. So back on the Adolin and Shallan. So Paul, you specifically are saying you will hate it if we don't resolve that quickly. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let me spin you an oddly specific prediction and you tell me if this is in the hate it or love it category. Here's what I think might happen. From a Roshar perspective, we resolve this quickly. By Stormlight 6, she's back. But what if Brandon goes off and writes the Ghostbloods trilogy, of which Shallan is a fairly active character? What if Shallan leaves Roshar? And her plot line in Ghostbloods is, oh crap, I'm off Roshar, I'm pregnant, and time is progressing differently. I need to get back to Roshar as quick as I possibly can. Oh, Hoyd, help me out. And while we see whatever our other characters are going to be doing in Scadrial and elsewhere, Shallan is like kind of in the picture, and her whole motivation is, I've got to get back to Roshar as fast as I can so that Adolin doesn't miss the childhood of his children.
That's what I was going to say. If Adolin's kid is Adolin's age when we get back, I'm going to be very upset.
Right.
Yeah.
And but I think, and maybe it resolves in she succeeds in that by the end of the Ghostbloods trilogy, and she inserts herself back into Roshar in a somewhat reasonable amount of time. Maybe she syncs back up with Adolin and she just has a 5-month-old baby. Where does that scenario fall on the spectrum?
Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Trevor. I have two main thoughts. My first thought is actually not about the Roshar story, but I don't think I like that as a story arc for the Ghostbloods Era 3 Mistborn. If we're following Shallan as she just wants to get back to Roshar.
I don't think she'd be a main character. I don't think that would make sense. I think she'd be a side character.
Which would be slightly better, but I don't think Shallan should be in Mistborn Era 3 Ghostbloods. She's a big part of the Ghostbloods, so that would be cool. But on these terms that we're looking at... Okay, if... Like, putting it together what Trevor said, if Adolin goes into Shadesmar, goes with Shallan, and somewhat joins the Ghostbloods, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that as being a plot. I'm not cool with... Okay, Shallan is stuck on Scadrial doing side quests with the Ghostbloods trying to figure out how to get back. Adolin is still stuck on Roshar doing nothing. She's going to come back indiscriminative time in the future with a child that Adolin has not gotten to be there for the birth of his child. You know, like I'm like, what? I feel like that's jumping through hoops that do not need to be jumped through for less productive reason than not doing it. If that but, probably was the clearest way to say it, but I think that would be undercutting your hit over here to also deliver a worse hit over here as well.
I don't actually disagree with you. I think I agree with you in general, but I'm stuck on the idea of, think about that as a character motivation though. That is a really unique character motivation of, I've got to get my child back to his or her father before they grow up too much and my father misses the childhood because my father's trapped in a time bubble and time is not progressing, but mine is. That just, I don't know. That seems really interesting.
No, I see what you mean. That is interesting. That may be an interesting plot, but I am not interested in that plot. I don't think that's a plot I would be interested in reading.
Are you not interested, or does it just make you sad?
I am not interested.
Sad. I would be much more interested if it wasn't Adolin and Shallan.
Yeah, potentially so. If it's something like that, I mean, that's not the same way, but like Sunlit Man was like, oh, I've got to get my BEUs up so I can jump to the next planet. Right? How do I get off this planet, essentially? And that one's different, and there's good moments, but even still, that concept to begin with, Sunlit Man was my least favorite, and the least engaged I was with a secret project.
Get out.
Which I understand is a hot
Sunlit Man slander on this podcast.
I know. I'm the worst. But this is very different from that, obviously. But it would be like making Sunlit Man less than half as good, is what I'm thinking. Like that concept of, I've just got to get off this planet because my husband is on another planet and he's not going to meet his child as a child. Like, I don't know. But we're just making up problems now, and like, it would have to be Shallan. I don't know. Shallan
heartbreaking video calls via Sion.
Shallan, yeah. Yeah, with the Sion. So Shallan already has that like motivation. She's like, I just want to get back. You know, she would have that. It would just be extra panicked on some other planet.
No. Okay, so here's the plot of Ghostbloods. Got it? At the end of Stormlight Era 2, Marcy is running for governor of Ellendale, correct? She passes a law to get all of her cadmium. Shallan shows up, hangs out with Marcy in a slow bubble for 50 years. And Shallan and her kid are just chatting with Marcy for 50 years in a slow bubble while... So they're in the same time as Roshar. That is the plot of Ghost Bloods. You're welcome.
I would enjoy a chapter of that. I would not enjoy 50 years worth of that.
No. Okay, so all of this will be avoided because Adolin is going to go with Shallan. And Adolin and Shallan and Baby are going to be sitting in a restaurant in the background of Ghost Bloods. And their baby is going to be in a high chair and they're going to be hanging out as a young couple in Ellendale.
All right. I'm on board. All right. I know there's other predictions we want to get to, but there's one question I really wanted to ask you guys first. Technology. So something we've seen kind of specifically as a development in Stormlight Archive, but also elsewhere in the Cosmere, is the progression of technology. So we've seen that a lot in Stormlight. We had, you know, the entire Book of Rhythm of War dedicated to science and figuring out how to do cool tech with Investiture. Then we have Mistborn, where we have Era 1 and then this giant jump and this huge technology leap from Mistborn Era 1 to Mistborn Era 2. Where do you guys think the Roshar of Stormlight Era 2 is going to be? Are we going to see a development of technology in our absence? Or are we just going to pick up where we left off kind of tech level wise?
I certainly think we're picking up where we left off. I think if there was if Navani was awake, could change things. Two, if there was more of like a definite end or a bigger time jump, I could see that being the case. But as is, no, not a jump in technology, other than things that are going to be brought into Roshar from other planets. I don't think the planet itself is in a state where they're like, yeah, we're going to have a bunch of technological discoveries and get this all across Roshar right now. I don't think they're in the state for that.
But what about retribution? You know, we kind of ended on, oh man, I thought I had 100 years to build up my army. Oh no, now everyone's looking at me. I got to be ready in 10. Could some of that come from retribution maybe?
So there's two different parts of this question. That's a good point that you brought up, Elliot. Paul, what you said, I completely agree with. If Navani was awake at the end of the book, our technology in the tower would be greatly increased by Stormlight 6. That's why we put her to sleep, which, as a side note, I think it's funny that at the beginning of the book, it was explicitly said Navani doesn't need to sleep. And then we solved that problem by the end of the book and by putting her to sleep to keep our technology the same. Now, Elliot, to answer your question, I think our fused are going to have quite the technological jump for combating the Cosmere, because you're right. Teravangian is freaking out. Oh, I'm not ready. And Dalinar said, go on the fight already. So Retribution is going to be looking for technological advances extremely quickly. I don't know what that will look like, though.
That's an interesting thought. Actually, I hadn't thought about that. Could we see maybe a bit of a flip? I don't know if this is quite a flip, but could we see fused all of a sudden being the high-tech ones?
Right.
And our heroes maybe set back a lot, right? Because we don't have Stormlight anymore.
But we do have Tower Light, so we have a defense, but we don't have...
Right. Rock. Right. We can't go out in the field or we're back to the Stone Age. Right. Bronze. Iron. Steel. Steel Age. Is that a thing?
ATM.
Yeah. What?
You were just naming metals. Yeah. Short answer is not much. I don't think we're going to develop much technology between five and six. That'd be my guess. Paul, your Herald point. What's your question on the Heralds?
Yes. I have been, my main question to pose is, what is going to be the role of the Heralds going forward?
I think Elliot is wrong, and that the Heralds won't be back by book six. I actually wonder if we've put the Heralds on pause for quite a bit, and they will come back later, like to go fight Odium in the end of the series, not at the beginning of the series.
I think this answer will be solved, Trevor. Not solved, but hinted at in the prelude to the back half of the Stormlight Archive.
Sure.
Either we're going to get a glimpse at to where they are, or the prelude equivalent is going to be something totally different, and that'll also kind of be an answer as to how maybe how important our Heralds will be here. Elliot is thinking intently, so I'll share my guesses.
He's pulling up his nerdy quote to disprove my
prediction. His nerdy quote. I think that this is certainly pointed at the Heralds are going to be important. There's this interesting path we take from the start of the Way of Kings being shown a Herald, and then as we go, they're viewed as mythological, like they're viewed as godly people, like angels. I don't know what you would call it. Like they're viewed so highly, so powerfully, like you pray to them, right? Like it's kind of ridiculous how high of a pedestal they have, to then see their kind of miserable and broken and don't make any sense, to then in book five, we're all of a sudden reinstating them entirely, healing them. So that makes me think, if that's the case, we've gone through a lot of trouble in book five to set them up. I think they have to be the force that is on Roshar, that is tied to Roshar and tied to Honor and Odium to ultimately like help defeat them.
Here's my argument for the Heralds. The design of the Oath Pact was always, when the Heralds come back, they come and lead mankind against Odium and push back the Voidbringers, blah, blah, blah. But they never really did that, at least not in the end. They were so broken by that point, and they kind of just went back to Braze and did their job and stuff like that. But now, when the Heralds return, they will be everything they were designed for. Like Kaladin will help them achieve, Paul, what you've been asking since book one. You want the Heralds to come through the portal, swords raised, they're going to save the day. That will happen now. So my brain now goes to, okay, that's not book six then. I think the Heralds are gone for a while. And when they do come back, they are everything they're supposed to be. They are healed. They are the heroes of mankind, and they are going to push back Odium when they come back, but it won't be in book six. It'll be like in book 10.
Yeah. I have one thing to add to this. One thing that I think would be really cool. I agree with you, Trevor. I think the Heralds coming into the fray fully is going to be like a big thing, not a start of like opening up the book thing, because we get a lot of time to get to these like big climax 10 book 10 moments. I think it's going to be later. What I do think we could see earlier, which I think would be a huge treat, is from the start of the series, we kind of get Kaladin as the hero, Shallan as, at the start, I'm going to call this isn't full justice, but I'm going to call her a world building tool. You know, we learn the world. We see a lot of things. That is rude. I'm sorry, Shallan. I don't mean it. And that's not the best comparison to make, because all I'm trying to say is I think through our books going forward, we could see a Kaladin point of view where he's with the Heralds, and maybe even that's where we learn more about the Heralds. That's where we have those Dalinar Taravangian type discussions, those like ethical discussions in like the conversations we have of how do you move past such a broken history? How do you move past like the actual healing process that they go through? I think it would be really cool to see that. We probably couldn't see all of it because I expect it will be some time, and it'll be implied that, you know, there's a lot of time between now and then, the start of book six. But I think it would be cool to see the Heralds enjoying the stew around the campfire type of thing, you know, like the humanizing them a bit instead of them coming in as distant superheroes, you know. I don't know why I brought up Shallan. That wasn't relevant. Continue.
Well, I did find a couple quotes that I think are relevant. I think you might be able to read them in support of either path we're going down, though. So here's the sections I was thinking of that are from the postlude of the Stormlight Archive, where we see Kaladin and Kalak have a chat on the grassy hillside of Alaswa. Here's what they say. Kaladin said, "Ishar says that with the merging of Honor and Odium, things are odd. An unexpected warping of time has happened, so it will pass strangely for us. More strangely even than what is happening on Roshar. While years pass there, months will pass for us. We have time for once and peace." And then skipping down towards the bottom of the page. "One more try," Kaladin whispered. "Just once more." "Once more," Kalak said. "A final return?" "We heal," Kaladin said. "We reclaim ourselves. Then we go back to Roshar. This time we win for real. Instead of coming back withered from torture, you'll return refreshed, mended, and we'll see what we can do together." I guess I read that as we've got time on our side, we the Heralds, can use it to recharge, and we're going to be up and ready to go as soon as things are moving again back on Roshar, which I was thinking would be pretty much right at the beginning of book six. But I could also see how you'd get kind of the opposite impression from that, actually, of, hey, we're going to take a time out here for a bit. Time is doing funky things, and we're going to be out for a while. Well, so, I don't know.
Kaladin contradicts himself there. He says, what you just quoted, time is going to pass even more different for us than it will on Roshar. While years pass there, months pass for us. So the time is not in their advantage.
Yeah, it's confusing.
And then Kaladin follows up with, so we have time to recuperate. He doesn't. They're even further dilated than Roshar is. Roshar, while years pass there, months pass here, they're losing time.
Yeah, if that's how you interpret it, I think you're right, of that it's the opposite of what he's thinking.
Right?
I think I follow you, which, doesn't really make sense.
I mean, they're going to stop and heal, whatever. But from what he just said, I don't know if it's a mistake or what, but from what he said, they have his time. The time is against the Heralds, and more time is passing on Roshar.
Right.
So that makes me think that. So I kind of have a meta way of thinking about this. I don't think Kaladin can progress much more. So I think we are going to see him quite minimally going forward. Therefore, Heralds don't return until book 10 and kill Odium.
See, I'm thinking of it as, I agree with you, I don't know that he has much more to progress, which I also agree means we probably won't see him much, but he can still be a player. He just is a more mythical one.
Sure.
He's more a behind the scenes deific figure, not a hero on the ground, that we spend very much time in his point of view, if any.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm fascinated. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Elliot, your last real question before we get into full predictions.
Yeah, this is kind of a snarky one. Will Dawn Shards actually matter at any point?
Surely we will get a novella named Dawn Shard that will tell us everything we need to know about Dawn Shards, right?
Oh wait. I think I'm a little salty on this because I came out of reading the novella named Dawn Shard that was supposed to tell me all the things, thinking, oh my goodness, this is now the most important thing in the Cosmere.
Yes.
And maybe that's not incorrect.
Yes.
But they don't seem to actually have any relevance to our story.
Yet.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be set up in these back half books is what's the term they use to describe the Dawn Shard? It's like they describe it as like a weapon that could kill a god, right? Like a weapon that could
the weapon that was used to shatter Adonalsium.
Yes, that's right. So it does have to be used for something, right? If we've dealt with it. Either that, okay, there are two schools of thought. There's one of we will see the Dawn Shards, and it will be this game of let's keep Dawn Shards away from the wrong people so that they don't destroy stuff, which is the lame one. Or there's the much cooler one, which is we need to assemble and use the Dawn Shards for good, you know, and something like that. And I would love to see that. And we're going to have a lot of page time to get there. So it certainly can happen.
But it almost feels to me like Brandon has introduced them as, wow, look at these super cool things, and then gone, well, but actually, hold on a second. We can't actually have these in the story because they're just going to break my whole meta. If we actually start to use these things, they're just going to be way too OP. And so because of that, we have...
Shards.
Well, right, hashtag nerf Dawn Shards. Like, I wonder if he has to keep them out of the story, or they just become the let's just light speed through your Star Destroyer and break them all.
Good Star Wars reference. I am way... So Dawn Shards take up like a fraction of a percent of my mental capacity when thinking about the Cosmere. I don't care when they come in and what they do. Whenever it happens, it'll happen. I don't spend any brain power thinking about them ever.
I'm realizing now that's where I should be.
Yes. Yes, you should. I mean, I was like you, and when I picked up the book Dawn Shard, I'm like, oh, this is going to be really exciting. And then we learned two sentences about what a Dawn Shard is. And that's the only thing we've learned so far. So I take that as, okay, this will be relevant in 25 years. So I will worry about it then. All right, Paul, lead us with some crazy, wild thumbnail predictions. You're not going to believe what he said. Go ahead.
Okay. I think my crazy one is that in the midst of all this, I think we're going to get a Taravangian redemption arc. I think we're going to get Taravangian. We've seen he has his soft spot still. He's the divided one. You know, he may stop to think more about what Dalinar has done. He may realize through wielding this power, like other things, it's possible Trevor's thinking that Honor's just going to leave him. It's possible that if the shards leave him, that he's led to that as well. I don't know how it could happen, but I think there could be a Taravangian redemption arc. Brandon won't write about anything in the beyond, but I am still holding on to this way back whenever Dalinar and Taravangian talk, and they say that they'll embrace each other at the Contest of Champions once Dalinar has proven Taravangian wrong, and he claims he really wants to be proven wrong. I was really moved by that scene, that one I still think about, and partly why I wish the Contest of Champions had gone a bit different. That was before Todium, so, you know, old news. But part of me wants to see that fulfilled in a way, whether that's Taravangian having a redemption and giving his life and, you know, embracing Dalinar as a friend and as a brother at afterlife, which we wouldn't see because Brandon's not going to write about Past the Beyond, or something along those lines. On the flip side, what may be a little more feasible, but like I'm sticking with my crazy prediction that there could be a Taravangian redemption arc. There's also the side aspect of that, of there could be a Moash redemption arc. You wouldn't see both. There's a chance of one or the other. I think Moash is pretty gone. So I'm in the boat of there's a chance for a Taravangian redemption arc. So yeah, that's my crazy theory. But the Moash one is maybe more.
All right, I'm going to try to be nice to you guys' crazy predictions, but absolutely not. There, Moash has a higher percent probability of having a redemption arc than Taravangian does. All the hidden Carbron thing was for, in my opinion, was to show the reader that Taravangian does have a weak spot. That is going to be exploited by another shard, a herald, whatever that's going to work out to. Somebody's going to find Carbronth in the spiritual realm and say, oh, I can hold Carbronth at gunpoint and threaten you like Cultivation was trying to do.
And it works. What if he's not willing to sacrifice Carbronth for his mission? What if they hold Carbronth at gunpoint? He says, okay, I'm going to let go of this retribution thing and protect Carbronth.
Not going to happen.
I'm not completely against this Taravangian redemption arc thing, because I can envision a scene that would be epic at the end of Stormlight 10. All of the shards have come back together and have figured out, have agreed to, are in the act of reforming out of Nalsium. But all that's left is Retribution. Retribution has to step in and join the others to reform out of Nalsium. And Taravangian is like, I can't do it. I've done all these terrible things in my life. I just can't. And somehow, through some crazy power, he gets temporarily, like, it's a vision of Dalinar from the beyond coming back just for a moment to speak to him and say, but Taravangian, you can do this. I forgive you for all the things you've done. You can be a good man again. Do this. And he goes, okay, Dalinar, you've inspired me. I'll do this. And he steps in and Adol Nalsium is reformed and the Cosmere is saved.
That'd be epic. That's a great, I'm glad you ran with that, Elliot, because that is really cool. It would be super impactful.
Dalinar's not coming back.
Yeah, probably not.
I agree with that, but that does tie into my one other really crazy theory.
I wanted to say it before you got into this, because I looked at it and I'm like, what on earth am I reading?
Yeah, okay. This is a little bit pieced together from a couple different places. So, obviously, Brandon was being maniacal whenever he phrased it the way he did, that when Taravangian is trying to get Dalinar after he dies, and he says, he slips through his fingers and it says, he hears a voice saying, you cannot have him or whatever, he's claimed by another. We take that to understand as that's probably the beyond. He's gone, he's really gone now. However, it was very, like I said, maniacal in his choice of words saying, he is claimed by another. So, naturally, I'm going to make a ridiculous theory that he was claimed by another shard, and that shard would be Mercy, who's taking pity and being merciful to Dalinar, who should be dead. And also that this is happening because Mercy is actually Noadon from In the Vision. That part I kind of stole because someone wrote that. I don't remember in a comment or in our Discord or somewhere. Someone made a mention of what if Noadon in the Vision is Mercy. I didn't look into it. I just said, great. Yeah, I agree. And so I think Dalinar is being claimed by Mercy. And then he will in turn show great mercy to a character in our story, like their avenging. They could have that embrace moment, like I mentioned. Something there, like you could have some crazy grade A stuff with that. So yeah, if he's claimed by a shard, I think it's Mercy.
I feel like that jives pretty well with where my brain was going a few minutes ago. I'm on board with this.
I'm not going to entertain these. These are so out of question. It's not worth.
You said you wanted the headliners, man. Why are you dissing all of them now?
I wanted good headliners. I can't put Dalinar is Mercy in the thumbnail. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, dude. That's a great thumbnail. That's like the best one we've ever had.
Let me know down in the comments if I put Dalinar is Mercy in the thumbnail.
Dalinar claimed by Mercy? Whoa. You could put like Mercy from Overwatch on the
you
thumbnail.
You won't believe what
everyone
happens
will click
next.
On it. Yeah. So, what do you want me to say? Like, oh, the good guys are going to win, I think, at the end.
No.
Like, that's your vanilla.
Here's what you're supposed to do. Prediction? So, my prediction at the beginning of book 6, Taravangian is going to be sitting and thinking, do I have any loose ends to tie up? Oh, yeah. I think book 6 is going to open and Zeth is going to die. I think Retribution is going to go retrieve Nightblood.
No.
The whole Taravangian Nightblood Zeth scene in Rhythm of War, where he's like, you have to use the sword. That's the only thing that can defeat Odium. And then Retribution's going to sit there and be like, well, hold on a minute. Nightblood's still somewhere. I need to go find him. And then open book 6, Zeth is going to die. That's my prediction.
Here's why that can't happen. We've been saying different versions of that for 5 books now. I feel like every book we've come out of, we've gone, oh, wow, nobody actually died in that book. Opening of next book, someone's going out. Uh-huh. And every single time it doesn't happen.
No, it'll happen this time. Don't worry. It'll happen
nobody,
this
time. Nope, Brandon never kills his characters.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I can't believe you don't believe in the Dalinar thing, because obviously he's not actually dead. You didn't think anyone actually died, did you?
It could not be more clear that Dalinar is dead.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Dalinar and Mistborn spoilers, Wayne, are the only two characters in all of Cosmere.
In Mistborn Secret History, Vin and Ellen specifically say, no thank you, Kelsteer, I'm gone.
Yeah, Vin and Elend are gone. Those are like
okay, fine.
Some of the 4. Very few, I will say, they're extremely gone.
Mistborn spoilers.
Trevor, though, but I hear you. And I'm not going to say whether that's going to happen or not. I don't think it will. So I lied. I did comment on it, I guess. But but Trevor, you can't diss it. I'm trying to make a prediction on what's going to happen at book 10. You're stuck at the opening of book 6. Come on, let's live a little here.
See, we'll find out whether I'm right in 8 years. We'll find out whether you're right in 18 years.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
All right, Elliot, what do you got for us?
You ready for your actual thumbnail headliner?
Yes.
I'm going on a bit of a hunch with this one, but I've got a little bit to back it up. I've just got a gut feel. And actually, the more I've thought about this, the more I'm convincing myself of this. I think it is possible that Jasnah is the last unmade that we have not accounted for.
I better see some receipts here. What on earth are you talking about?
Hang with me. There are 9 unmade, right? 10?
So we've been told 9.
Yeah, true. So we've been told. we spent at least a little bit of time with all but one. There was one unmade that was very noticeably absent in Stormlight Era 1. I was on the hunt for those. I was trying to check off my list. Oh, we've seen that one there. We've seen that one there. We've seen that one there. Chemo-Arish. Chemo-Arish.
The Dust Mother.
The Dust Mother. And that's about all we know, is a name and a title. And there's a random epigraph somewhere that is like, and very little is known about the Dust Mother Chemo-Arish. Noticeably absent. Shockingly so. Yasna has something in her past that's been hinted at that's like this darkness. There's a few references to like, oh yeah, back in the days when we used to have to lock young Yasna in a padded room.
Yep.
Wait, what? And other stems like, oh, well, I made it through my terrible childhood, so I can handle anything. And then add on top of that, the kind of disconnected Yasna we get in Wind and Truth. She does not seem to be aligned with her own thinking. In fact, I think a lot of people have had issue with this in this book. They're like, man, Yasna really falls apart way too easily. What if there's a reason for all this? And that reason has something to do with the unmade we have not seen. And yes, my Yasna is Chemo-Arish is a little clickbaity. In reality, maybe it's more of just that has something to do with the influence of Chemo-Arish, the unmade. That's my theory.
Like the Dust Mother is assigned to Yasna and less is Yasna, not as much is
yes.
Yasna.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Like Yasna either was inhabited by or connected to or bonded with or just tortured by in her childhood. A very active role in Yasna's life by Chemo-Arish the Unmade.
Completely more feasible than Yasna is secretly the Unmade.
Well, but I do kind of mean it in a very like shockingly Yasna is bonded with Chemo-Arish kind of sense. I think that could be possible. Feel free to roast me in the comments and show me all the ways that can't be possible.
So, I mean, just to point it out, I can't prove you wrong. So we have that going for you.
Aha.
I feel like I should have read the Yasna short story from The Lost Tales by now, but I haven't. And that would have told me more about Yasna. I forgot that existed, to be honest. But I do need to go read it. It's right behind me. All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
Only just to say that I'm pretty excited. I know we have a long time to wait. I know it's going to be years and years before we get back to Stormlight. I'm slightly disappointed by Wind and Truth, not nearly as much as many of the folks out there, I think, but if nothing else, I am excited to keep going. I am quite excited for what are the second five books of Stormlight Archive going to cover and what are we going to get into. I am very eager to continue with these characters, and hopefully the next 6 years go quickly so I can read those books.
I'm left with one question, and that's, Trevor, if we do see a Taravangian redemption arc 18 years from now, as you say,
will I apologize?
How much are you going to owe me for that one, for mocking that here, you know, if I'm 18 years in the
future?
All right.
All right. I will invest $10 right now. And however much it has grown in 18 years, whoever is correct gets that money.
Okay. So if we're doing it that way as like a bet, I think we'd both have to invest, right? Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's do Batar style compounding interest. We'll both invest
$10.
And in 18 years, when Taravangian dies, a rightful and correct death, One of us will get $100.
Yeah, there we go.
I love this bet.
Yeah, good bet.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot. We have one more Stormlight episode next week, and then on to the encore of the Cosmere as it stands, Isles of Imdark.
See you later.
See y'all. Thank you, Altrez. I also thought maybe it's Alt-Rez, but I don't know. So,
or Alt-Rez.
I think it's Alt-Rez, like alternative resolution is what I'm thinking in my head.